Okay, so at this point I get to make a few remarks. I don't know whether I'm required to, but I'm going to. So, just to say a few things from kind of my perspective at this point in our journey. I've been reflecting quite a lot recently on the pattern that we see in life, a pattern that we're all kind of very familiar with. So that pattern of kind of life, death, new life. And actually we see it in everything, don't we? We see it in the created order. So we think about the seasons of the year, for example, spring and summer, autumn and winter which often seems dark and miserable and as though nothing's happening and the gardens look all bleak and there's no colour. Actually underground, there's lots of work going on in terms of nutrition and preparation for new life and growth. And we see that as an annual kind of seasonal cycle in creation. We see it in our lives, don't we, as human beings, being born, infancy, adolescence, young adulthood, middle age, autumn, and death. A cycle that we're all familiar with in terms of human life. We see the same pattern in Jesus, who was born and grew up and lived and then died. But then, of course, we also saw that Jesus came back to life, was raised to new life. And again, that speaks to us of our eternal nature in God and in Christ. And of course, I think probably we see and recognise that as followers of Jesus, the pattern is the same as individual disciples, isn't it? That we're called constantly, as we grow, to be dying to some things in order to embrace and grow into new things. So an infant can't stay an infant, it has to become a toddler and a child and an adolescent, and there's always loss, isn't there? You lose the cuteness and the different stages, but you have to lose those things in order to gain the next stage. As disciples, we're called to die to our what's often called our false self, or our ego, self-ego, individual ego, or our small self, whatever we might call it. We're called to die to in order to be able to embrace and grow into fullness of life and full maturity and freedom, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, says Jesus. And I think the same principles, the same pattern, I think we can recognise is very true in church life too. And I think sometimes we do struggle, don't we, to let things die. We struggle with death generally. We struggle as individuals with the idea of death. We want to hold on to life as it is. But we struggle as a church as well to be able to let things die in order to have capacity and space and opportunity to embrace new life. The COVID pandemic has had a massive impact on all of us, hasn't it? It's been, in many ways, a traumatic experience collectively, as a society, as a world. It's had an impact on us as a church. It's had an impact on every aspect of our lives. And I guess, in some ways, it reminds us all of the reality of death and the more challenging sides of life. But like any experience like that, we can also recognise and learn that often those are opportunities for growth. Often it focuses minds. Often things that perhaps weren't very healthy anyway and had got past their sell-by date, it hastens their decline and their demise. And so death happens more in the things that we see around us. But of course also, a pandemic, a crisis like we're facing at the moment, can also bring transformation, can act as a kind of corrective, so hastening the demise of some things, but actually an opportunity to create space for new things. It causes us to reflect as individuals and as a society on what's really important. It perhaps helps us to think about how we want society to be in the future, and to try and work towards a better future. So that's the context in which we meet in our parish life. And of course, in our parish life, as part of the Mission Action Plan, you'll know that we have, instead of talking about the two hubs that we used to talk about, St. Thomas's and St. Augustine's, now we talk about areas of mission and ministry. We've gone for a much more flexible approach and an approach that focuses on what we're doing missionally and in terms of ministry, and hopefully focuses on where there's life and opportunity rather than just maintaining what is. And I think in those different aspects of our life together, we can see that they're going to be at different stages of life. And actually, we can just recognise that's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. So the revealed community that I'm kind of praying about and seeking to develop has been delayed by COVID, like lots of other things. So I suppose you could say it's in the womb. It's ready to be birthed, but not been born fully yet. St. Thomas's, the St. Thomas's community is young and starting to grow, committed to prayer and to mission and hospitality. It's drawing on ancient traditions, the monastic kind of tradition, now known as new monasticism. But actually that community of people are praying together and meeting together, building relationship together, looking to the future of the St. Thomas's building. There's an exciting business plan for developing the St. Thomas's site to provide move-on accommodation at the back of the site there on the car park, to be able to provide a hub that meets social needs and enables a space for worship, for prayer, for community activity, as a kind of community hub in the most deprived part of our parish. So, young and growing, new life, new potential, a long way to go, and fragile, I suppose, because new life tends to be fragile. We gain strength as we grow towards adulthood. Then we've got Gathering Place and Jubilee, meeting on Wednesday morning here. Now again, Gathering Place has been put on hold by COVID, and I guess those of us involved in Gathering Place, well, we have been meeting and praying, and we need to be thinking about what the future is, using the kind of winter experience as putting the roots down in a way that will lead to good, healthy new life when spring comes. The Jubilee Project has started meeting again, working with Derby City Mission on a Wednesday morning. We do open up and people can come and get debt advice and financial help and benefits advice, which of course is crucial at this time when so many people are facing financial hardship and financial uncertainty. I'm delighted to be able to say that just this week we've heard that funding is now in place for the next 2 years for the Jubilee Project here at Gussie's. Metropolitan Housing have recognised it as a valuable need and a valuable offer in this area, and so now that funding is secure, but actually as local churches I want us to be having a conversation about the future, the longer term future, and how we work together to ensure that kind of needs are being met and that we're working effectively as churches in the area in that. And then we have the Gussie's congregation. I suppose we could probably, if we take us together as a congregation, we could probably describe the Gussie's congregation as being in the autumn of life, perhaps approaching winter. I know I can often think of kind of looking at Gussie's and seeing the numbers falling away and the finances falling away and think of that as failure. But perhaps it's not failure. Perhaps it's part of that natural pattern of life that we see. And perhaps, as a Gussie's congregation, we need to be able to just affirm that and not feel bad about it, to be able to continue to worship together and to love each other, but actually to recognise that it's the current form in which we gather and worship and operate as a church is dying. It's coming to the end of its natural life. It's served previous generations well, it's served us well, but it won't continue forever. And now's the time perhaps not to be trying to throw everything at it just to prop it up, but instead to be praying and meeting and saying, okay, what in the winter that we're approaching, what roots can we be putting down in order to see new life in the spring? I think that's a conversation we need to be having. We've had a quinquennial report for St. Thomas and St. Augustine's, but St. Augustine's quinquennial report, there's a lot of work needs doing on this building. It's now over 100 years old. It's a lovely building. It's going to need lots of money spending on it. I know in my mind and heart, I don't think it's a good stewardship to just put lots of money into this building if we don't have a clear vision and idea of what the future of this building is. And again, I think part of our conversations need to be, how do we reimagine this space and how do we reimagine how this church will serve this community, and that process, having a new sense of vision and purpose for this building and how it will serve God's mission in this area, needs to go alongside a programme of maintaining the building physically. I don't think we can just pour lots of money down the drain if actually in 5-10 years' time the congregation just folds anyway and the building stands empty. That would be a bad use of resources, I think. So I think we need to be having a parallel conversation. What is the new thing that God wants us to be investing in? And that might not, we might not all be involved in doing that, but it might be about facilitating and creating space for that to happen. And then establishing that sense of vision and purpose for the future, because is, that then starts to help us to see how best to spend money on the building to ensure that it actually serves future generations in the way that God is leading us. So, we're facing hard times. We're facing a bit, we're literally facing winter, aren't we? But I think in lots of other ways in our society, we're facing winter. It's an opportunity for us to reimagine. It's an opportunity for us to put our roots down. It's an opportunity for us to be doing that under the surface kind of work in order to be in a good place for new life to emerge in the spring and for a new harvest to be reaped in the future.